In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This prophetic word to the church in Smyrna was written for us, but not exactly written to us. In many ways, our circumstances are very different from the church in Smyrna. Most of us are middle class, safe, and enjoy amazing freedom to follow Jesus, not facing suffering or prison or worse. Be faithful unto death, says Jesus. How long is that? Until the end of the week, maybe, if you're a Christian in Smyrna about the year 100 AD, you face harsh penalty for bearing the name of Christ. The letter from Pliny to Emperor Trajan comes from about the same time and not far away from Smyrna. And Pliny, a Roman governor, reports matter-of-factly about executing people who obstinately persisted in being Christians, or of torturing people accused of following Jesus as a kind of routine interrogation method. Pliny's approach was standard operating procedure in the early second century Roman Empire. Christians knew that the cost of being a disciple of Jesus could be high and painful and swift. And by the thousands, they followed Jesus and praised Jesus and talked about Jesus anyway. Most of them experienced real material poverty of a kind that we can barely imagine. Genuine suffering was a daily possibility in the form of beatings and torture and death. Getting thrown into prison was not a theoretical risk, and the whole legal system was stacked against them. Now, Christianity in our time has perhaps lost some of the cultural prestige and influence it had until recently. But most believers today, especially here in America, are not in the same boat as the church in second century Smyrna. Maybe the tomorrows that lie before us hold in store suffering and real danger for the sake of Jesus that our fathers and mothers did not face. Maybe outright persecution of Christ's faithful ones will come crashing down on us too. Maybe the cultural tide has indeed turned, and we who bear the name of Jesus will have to suffer and be imprisoned and be killed. But maybe not. Maybe the long gray twilight we live in, this twilight of distraction and vague tolerance, will continue for years and decades to come. It isn't exactly persecution if people around us think we're kind of silly and hold to some ridiculous religious ideas. You don't get enlisted in the noble army of martyrs if your culture takes the church about as seriously as a Renaissance fair. And you can't be a jerk and pick a fight and then claim you're being persecuted. And we would rather be persecuted than ignored. Better be martyred than irrelevant, or so we tell ourselves. And so we embroider every difficulty, and we imagine we face more danger than we do. Tribulation? What do we know about tribulation? Poverty? Well, maybe if you measure on a sliding scale, but trust me, even American seminary students are in the top 10% of global affluence. Suffering? We often think we're suffering if we are deprived of some of our customary privileges and comforts, or if the Wi-Fi is out. Prison? Well, I would say probably not more than 20% of you will spend much time in prison. And I'm not sure it's the devil who will put you there. The late Roman Catholic Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Francis George, famously said, "I will die in my bed, my successor will die in prison, and his successor will be martyred in the public square." You still hear his dire prediction invoked as a diagnosis of the bleak and dangerous present and future of the church. But so far, it isn't working out exactly the way Cardinal George saw it. His successor, now in office, Cardinal Blaise Supich, hasn't been imprisoned yet, and he is currently best known for implementing the Pope's restrictions on using the pre-Vatican II Latin Mass. Now, anything is possible, but things will have to change pretty quickly in Chicago if the 73-year-old archbishop is literally going to die in prison. In other words, Cardinal George may have exaggerated the darkness we face in our time and place. We tend to overstate our own troubles, to stretch every difficulty, including perhaps those difficulties of our own making, to match the apocalyptic extremes of ultimate struggle. Because such hyperbole makes us feel more important and more heroic than we really are. In the early church, there was a real thirst for martyrdom. Polycarp was, by tradition, a pupil of John the Evangelist, and then bishop right there in Smyrna in the second century. He was burned, or they tried to burn him, and then stabbed with a spear when he was an old man. Ignatius of Antioch was taken to Rome to face a martyr's death, being ripped apart by wild animals. He didn't want anyone to intervene on his behalf or try to stop this gruesome sentence from being carried out. He wanted nothing to come between him and glorious martyrdom. Some Christians today sound as if they kind of look forward to a new era of martyrdom for the American church. Not me. I'm pretty sure I would crumple like a paper umbrella in Hurricane Ian if somebody pointed a gun at me and asked if I was a Christian. I pray that nothing like that ever happens to me or to the people I love or to you. It might, of course. It could. It is certainly true that Christians are suffering for the gospel in many places around the world today. I pray that if it comes to that, God gives me grace and strength to remain faithful in the face of it. But we don't pray for persecution to demonstrate the strength of our faith. We pray that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. You see, the point isn't how you die, but how you live from now until then. Be faithful unto death isn't meant to ignite a thirst for glorious martyrdom, but rather to nourish your life of patient, confident martyria, witness to who Jesus is and what he has done for as long as it takes, as long as he gives us. He is the first and the last. He is the one who started all this by his life and death and resurrection, and he is the one who stands alive. At the end, the goal, the telos of whatever light and momentary struggles we go through on our way to follow him and be with him. I will give you the crown of life, says this Jesus. Yes, he will. Dead men don't give us life. Only the one who is the first and the last, the one who died and came to life, can do that. And that is exactly what he promises in second century Smyrna. And wherever believing in Jesus takes you in the 21st century. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.